Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with all of you. It's great to worship together. It's great to see you and talk with you, to fellowship together, to visit with one another. What a beautiful day it is, and I'm thankful that you're here. And if you're new here to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, welcome. We're glad that you are here. We're going to continue our series in Colossians, studying Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. But I want to share with you something that happened to me a while ago. And I've shared a little bit about it before. But studying this passage this week, it reminded me of this. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the day that I felt like I was going to die. Okay, it was the day I actually felt like I was going to die. And I was a teenager. And I remember I was in San Diego, and my friends and I, we were bodyboarding, all right, out in the ocean, okay, enjoying the cool weather, enjoying the waves. And I remember paddling out to sea, okay, with my little foam board, okay, trying to catch waves. And as I was paddling, I was looking around, I was enjoying just being out in the ocean, God's creation. And I wasn't looking ahead of me. And when I turn and look forward, I see this huge wave swelling up, building up before my eyes. And to me, it looked 10 feet. It was probably 2 feet high. No, I think it was probably 4 or 5 feet high. All right. And I'm on my board floating there, and I see it. It's swelling up over me. And I'm thinking to myself, it all seemed like slow motion, but I'm thinking to myself, this wave is going to crash right on top of me. And so I had lost sight of it. I see this wave. It's too late. There's nothing I can do. I can't dive underneath it. It's too deep for me to jump over it. And so I just brace myself. I hold on as tightly as I can to my board, and the wave ends up crashing right on top of my back. The weight of the water pushes me down underwater. It tosses me. It turns me left and right, back and forth, upside down. I have no idea where I am, and I remember this vividly. I'm thinking to myself, is this how I'm going to die? I cannot breathe. Where is this wave going to take me? It's going to pull me out to sea. What's going to happen to me? The pain, not only that, I thought the weight of the wave, the water, was going to break my back. And so I snap out of it. Of course, this is only a few seconds here. But I remember panicking. I was panicking. Not only was I being thrown around by the water, but I was starting to thrash around, like gasping. I wasn't gasping for air yet, but I was running out of air. And I didn't know what to do. I was panicking. And then in my panic, as I was thrashing around, my foot scraped the floor. I said, oh, I can stand up. I stood up and I looked around. All right, did anyone see me? Okay, I'm good to go. Let's get back out there. You see, it's funny, yes. It's funny to me even to look back because nobody really talked to me. None of my friends saw me. That's what's most important. None of my friends saw me, okay? I didn't die. I'm still here. I live to tell the story again and be laughed at again another day. But here's what happened, right? When you look at that story, and that's not some profound story that happened that changed my life, but when I look at it, here's what happened. I started to focus. When that wave hit me, it put me underwater, it dragged me, it tossed me to the left, it tossed me to the right, it flipped me upside down, and all I could do was focus on my circumstances in that moment. All I could do was just be consumed with what the water was doing to me at that moment. And I started to lose hope, right? Because I thought, oh, I'm drowning, I'm underwater, I don't know where it's taking me, I'm going to be dragged out to sea. And I became paralyzed. But I just needed a reminder, right? My foot, my toe scraped the ground when I was thrashing. And when I was reminded of what was really true, that the ground was right there and it had been there all along, I could stand. I could stand and keep going. I could have died in that water, the 2 feet of water that I was in that day, right? If I would have stayed under, if I didn't stand up, if I wasn't reminded of what was true. You see, maybe there's some of you this morning that are here. You're going through something in this life. You're going through some challenges, some difficulties. Maybe you're feeling lost. Maybe you're feeling scared. Maybe there's some fear. Maybe there's some frustration. Maybe there's anger at something that's going on and the state of things in your life. And maybe you're starting to lose hope. And my encouragement for you, it comes from the Apostle Paul and it comes from the passage that we're going to study this morning. But maybe we need to refocus. Maybe we need to remember and refocus on Jesus. And if you remember anything today, remember this, and it's in your outline. My encouragement for all of you today is to remember this. As you focus on Jesus Christ, when you focus on Jesus Christ, you will experience His fullness. You'll experience His fullness in your attitude, in your actions, and in your adoration, in how you worship Him. But it starts with refocusing on Him. Focusing on Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul says here in the book of Colossians. And we will remember that in this letter, he's writing this to the church. And this church was going through a lot of persecution, a lot of difficulties. There were so many false teachers out there trying to fill their heads with lies, teaching them these things that were going against God's Word, that they needed to have this secret knowledge, this additional knowledge, other than God's Word. They questioned who Jesus was and what Jesus did. They questioned His deity. They questioned that He was the Son of God. They questioned that He was the Savior, teaching lies. But Paul writes this letter to the church saying, "Church, brothers, sisters, remember. Remember Jesus. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done. Remember who you are now in Jesus Christ through faith." And specifically here in this passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, Paul's reminding us that everything has changed. Jesus changes everything. He's changed our lives. And it's all because we've put our trust in Him as our Lord and as our Savior. And here now, Paul is explaining and reminding us of this new reality of life in Christ. And he's not talking about one moment. You know, oftentimes we remember or we think about or we ask people to remember or, you know, do you remember that time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you remember that time when you were saved? And it's great to remember that time or that day that you walked up or that time that you prayed that prayer. But let's remember this. It's not about that one moment. Yes, we have to come to a place where we put our trust in Jesus and we choose to follow Him. But that's the beginning. It's the beginning of a brand new life with Jesus. And that's what Paul is reminding us of. And I want to point out three realities that Paul reminds us to focus on in this passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Three realities of life with Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember these three things. You don't even have to look at your outline. You can remember them after I share them with you because they're that easy. If we put it in just one word, I want you to remember, well, three words. Glory. Garment. Talking about clothes. Glory. Garment. And then glory again. So really only two words that you need to memorize today. Okay? Glory, garment, and glory. Paul reminding us of three realities that are true of us, that are true of our life in Jesus Christ. And I want to read this passage to you. Alright, you can look at your bulletin, you can look up on the screen. I threw it up there on the screen this morning. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read out loud verses 1 through 17. So bear with me, but follow along in your Bible, follow along on the screen. And again, think about what is it, Paul, that you are reminding me of? What are the realities of my life now in Jesus Christ? What is it about glory? What is it about a garment? And what is it about glory? So here we are, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Paul writing this to the church. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Pray with me. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for giving us new life through Jesus Christ. God, help us to understand what that means, what this life looks like, what this new life is that we have in you, with you. And help us to never forget. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what was that first word that I asked you to remember? Glory. Glory. What do we need to refocus on? What's the reality that we need to refocus on about this life in Christ? We need to focus on the glory of God. Look at verses 1 through 4. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Brothers and sisters, dear church, do you not know that you have a new life in Jesus Christ? Because of your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, everything has changed. And now it's time for us to choose daily to live in the power of that change, to live in the newness and the power of Jesus Christ. You know, to actually look forward each day to these eternal realities that are true about us in Jesus. But see, Paul points out first, he points to God, right? The glory of God. Do you know Jesus? Jesus, God's Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, seated at the right hand of God. And because of our faith in Him, we are now heirs, co-heirs with Him. We are righteous, we're clean, we're pure, all because of what Jesus has done. Remember the glory of Jesus. Remember the glory of God. How glorious He is. How worthy He is to be praised. How He is the King of Kings. He is the ruler. He is totally in control and all powerful. And He has a plan, a perfect plan that includes you and me. That's why Paul can say, focus on things above. Don't just focus on the things of the earth. Don't just focus on your circumstances. Remember who is in control. Remember who is the Creator. Remember who is your Savior. Remember your Lord. He is King. He is all-powerful. He has a plan. Remember, refocus on the glory of God. And some of us, it's not that we're so impressed by all these other things. Some of us, we're so focused on our own glory. And we need to give it up. We need to refocus and shift our eyes from ourselves back to God. You see, when we meet Jesus, when we see Jesus, when Jesus opens our eyes, when God opens our eyes to His truth, the truth of who He is and what He's done, our worldview should completely change. Just like the Apostle Paul, who can so deeply relate, because his life was changed. When? When he met Jesus. When he met Jesus, his life was changed. He could no longer be the same. You see, when we come to Christ, when we realize and remember who God is, our life, this world no longer revolves around me, right? Now, in Christ, my focus is on Jesus. Jesus is at the center of all things. Christ is now the center. And I know and I remember that I'm hidden with God in Christ. And you look here at verse 4. When Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ, who is your life. Brothers, sisters, remember, never forget that the reason you are alive is because of Jesus. The reason that you are able to breathe and sit here and listen to me this morning is because of Jesus. He is the very source of life. And there is a moment coming, right? You look at verse 4, you look at the second part of that verse. There will be a time, there will be a day that is coming soon when Jesus comes, when He returns. When He returns to take us home. Those that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus will come back to take us home. And those that have chosen to reject Jesus, to reject the gospel, to reject the truth of who He is and what He's done, He will give them. He will give you what you want. You see, when we refocus on the glory of God, it should change everything. It should change our attitude. It should change how we think. When we realize our new identity in Jesus Christ, when we remember who He is, what He's done, and who I am now in Him. How many of you are familiar with deadlines? Raise your hand if you're familiar with deadlines. Okay, things that you have to get done. Whether you're a student, whether you're in the workplace, we all have some experience with deadlines or having to get something done in a certain period of time. And I remember when I was in college, one of my favorite classes, and then I think it was the only class I got an A in. Maybe not. I think I got an A in something else. But it was economics, econ, macroeconomics. And it was due in part mostly to the professor. Because the professor was a great communicator. He was a great teacher. And he was also very clear. And one of the things he would always do before our test, there's a test coming up, it's on the syllabus, it's on the calendar, we all know it's coming up. He reminds us, he tells us that there's a test, we know what we need to do, but he was very great, very good at telling us what we need to focus on. What we need to study in order to be successful on the test. And I enjoyed this class so much because there was no ambiguity. There was no question. This is what I needed to focus on. And so when it was time to study for my test, I knew exactly where to go in the notes. I knew exactly where to go in the book. And that affected my whole study time, right? I knew what to do. And when the test came, I knew how to apply the knowledge that he told us to study and answer those questions correctly. I knew what to do. But see, that deadline, knowing that a test was coming up, it influenced how I lived, right? It influenced how I studied. It changed, you know, the way I looked at my time because I had to prepare for that test. I didn't want to do poorly on that test. Well, how about this, brothers and sisters? How does the reality of Jesus coming influence your life? Day by day. Yes, when you know that you have to turn something in, you have to submit that proposal at work, you got to get that project done, you know what you need to do, you do everything in your power, you work overtime so that you can get it done. Because you know that if you don't get it done, you lose money, your company loses money, you may lose your job. That motivates us. right? That motivates me. Money motivates me. Punishment motivates me. Consequences motivate me. Well, what about the reality that Jesus is coming? And that our time here is so short, and we do have a mission. We do have responsibilities. We do have a purpose, and God has a plan. Remember, refocus on the glory of God. And when we remember the glory of God, it should change how we think. What was that second word I asked you to remember? A garment. I know we don't use that word too much anymore. I'm not talking about Garmin, the GPS, okay? I'm talking about garment, like clothing. A new garment. All right, you look at verses 5 through 14. I'm not going to read them through again, but we're going to go through them. And Paul is talking about this idea. Okay, he's kind of giving us this word picture of putting on. And so that's why I want you to remember garment, like putting on a shirt, putting on a jacket. Paul is reminding us and telling us to put on this new life in Christ. Put on these characteristics that Jesus is developing and growing in your character, in your heart, in your being. Put them on every day. Just like you're dressed here today. I'm thankful that you're dressed this morning. Just like you put on clothes. Remember, not to necessarily as something you put on and take off, like the characteristics of Christ, but it's more of an encouragement. Live it out. Exhibit them. Look at these things that Paul is describing in verse 5. Put to death. Well, first he starts off talking about the old life, right? Our life apart from Jesus. Our life broken and in sin. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he lists them specifically. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because, here's the warning, right? If we still choose to cling on and hold on to sin and our old life apart from Christ, we will get what we deserve, right? The wrath of God is coming for those that choose to hold on to sin and to live in sin and to reject Jesus. I'm not saying if you sin, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if we choose to reject Jesus and we choose to make sin and the world and any other thing our God, then we are setting ourselves up to experience the wrath of God. Right? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. These things that you used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived. But rid yourselves of all such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Remember who he's writing this to? Who's he writing this to? Colossians. He's writing to the church. 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 Get rid of all these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Church people. Guys, Christians are tempted. I am tempted as a pastor. I am tempted. And not only that, I sin. I don't like sin. I don't want to sin. But I am not perfect. And I know some of you may be perfect. Because you guys, a lot of you are better than me. But actually the Bible says nobody's perfect. Even Christians. But there's a big difference. When we are in Christ, we have power over temptation. We have power over sin. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus has set us free. And now when temptation comes, we can choose righteousness. We can choose God's way. Paul is saying, guys, put it on. Put on this. Right? You look at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves now with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul is encouraging the church, protect the unity that you have. We have this amazing bond in Jesus. Now live it out. Be like Jesus to one another. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he shows how this is acted out. Because it's easy to say, well, we need to be kind. Okay, we need to be compassionate. But Paul says, look specifically, this is what it looks like, church, brothers and sisters. And we may think, well, obviously we love in each other. This is such an encouraging church. We always encourage one another. Well, Paul says right here, bear with one another. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And I tell you this, this is a word that is so needed for us today. For the church universal today, to clothe ourselves, to live out the life that we have in Christ, to clothe ourselves with love, to put on love. You know, Paul points out the greatest ethic, the greatest virtue is love that binds all of these characteristics together. They all describe love, the love of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded every day of the destruction of sin and how strong its temptation is. Even in the church, even between brothers and sisters in Christ. I hear it all the time. People in the church fighting. People in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, and actually biological brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters fighting. Disagreeing. It's okay to disagree. But let's not sin. Let's not allow bitterness to take root in our hearts and lead us to sin. Paul says, put this on because you're God's chosen people. You've been set apart now in Jesus. You're no longer the same. Your life now is supposed to be different. And the biggest difference is because Christ now is in you and you now are in Christ. And so it's not dependent on your strength and your willpower now. Now you can depend on the power of Jesus to change you from the inside out. But now you have to make the choice every day. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to forgive. You have to choose to sacrifice for the benefit of someone else, to bear with somebody. All of us know somebody who's hurting. How willing are you to sacrifice your time or your resources to bear with them, to walk with them through whatever it is that they're going through? Well, when you focus on the new garment that we have in Jesus, when you focus on this new life, this garment that you metaphorical garment that you put on every day, it's going to change how you live, right? When you think about, when you consider how you can love, how you can be an extension of God's love to someone else, it's going to change how you live. It's going to change how you love. You know, there was a time in my life where fear paralyzed me. The fear of what other people thought. The fear of what I might look like if I said this, if I did this. How would other people think of me? And it would just paralyze me and cause me to do nothing. And there's still times in my life where I'm paralyzed by the fear of shame. Where instead I'll choose to put on a mask and make everyone think that everything's great, and instead of sharing or being vulnerable or allowing people to know the things that I struggle with. You see, when I'm reminded of what Jesus has done for me and who I am in Jesus, when I'm reminded of the glory of God and the new life that I have to put on every day, the characteristics of Christ, I realize I'm reminded that I've been set free. And that I have the power to do everything that God has created me to do. And I'm reminded of His love, right? And here's the cool thing about the gospel, about the good news. Not only does the good news of Jesus Christ and what He's done and who He is affect the vertical relationship that I have with God, right? Jesus, because of what He did on the cross, He reconciled us to God. He made our relationship right again through His sacrifice. Not only does the gospel, not only does Jesus affect my vertical relationship with God, but it also affects my horizontal relationships with you, with other people. Now, not only can I be reconciled to God, but now I can have right relationships with you. What a blessing, what a joy. I can now bear with you. I now have the power and the desire to forgive and ask you to forgive me. And show this world something different where the world, it's so easy to be bitter and to hold grudges and to seek revenge. Well, now as Christians, as the body of Christ, we can forgive, we can show grace, we can show mercy, we can show the love of Jesus Christ. Show this world something different, that they may know, that they may see the glory of God, that they may be changed and made new. You see, and then the third word I want you to remember, right? Glory. Go back to glory. Paul reminds us, not the glory, just the glory of God, but bringing glory to God. Refocus, brothers, sisters, on the glory of God. Refocus on the garment, this new life that we have in Christ, and refocus on bringing glory to God through your life. Look at verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, I don't know how many of you can relate, but life is full of questions and uncertainty. How many of you are looking for answers today for something in your life? Raise your hand if you're looking for an answer for something. Okay, two people. No, a lot of us, right? We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen. There's always uncertainty. And some of us, we get so caught up, we get so discouraged, because we have a misconception of God's will, God's plan. We think of it as there's this one grain of sand that we have to find throughout this whole beach. In order for me to live in God's will, I got to find that one grain of sand. Or you can think of it as a needle in a haystack, right? We all have heard that saying. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, almost impossible. Are we in God's will? Am I doing what He wants me to do? Should I get that job? Should I go to this school, that school? Should I go and move to that state or that city? Or get this new house? Or should I start dating this person? Or is this one going to be a good spouse for me? All of these questions. God, is this your will for me? But see, Paul, he addresses this type of thinking. Right? When you look at verse 17, how he concludes this section of the letter. It's kind of like a mic drop. It's kind of like he can just say that last verse and just drop the mic and be done. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's not about finding the needle. It's about recognizing the haystack. Whatever it is that you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it in the name of Jesus. How can you do something in the name of Jesus? Well, if you're doing things that He's created and called and commanded you to do, then you can know, Jesus, I'm doing this in Your name. I'm forgiving my brother in Your name. I'm walking with my sister who suffered loss in Your name. I'm sharing You, Jesus, with that stranger in Your name. Give me strength to do that. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it to the glory of God and give thanks to God through Him. Bring glory to God through your life. Think about that. Refocus on how you can bring glory to God through your life every day. Not just think about at the end of my life, I hope I brought glory to God. No, I want you to pray. Make that a prayer request. God, how can I bring You glory today? How can I bring You glory in my family? How can I bring You glory at school? How can I bring You glory in my workplace? How can I bring You glory in this conversation right now? When you refocus on how you can bring glory to God, it changes everything. It changes your life. It changes how you worship. You stop thinking about worship as just one thing you do on Sunday morning and you start to realize that worship is life. That your whole life can be worship to God. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, when you're reminded that your life can bring glory to God, you start to live, and not with everything focused on you, but you start to realize that there's a bigger story outside of your own. You realize that God has a story, and it's all planned out. And His story is great. It's glorious. It's amazing. And you're part of it. And in the end, you're going to be with Him face to face. You're going to experience it in God's glory in all its fullness. So dear brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, continue to go, continue to persevere, continue to live, continue to love. Why? So that Christ is shown supreme in all that you do. So that Christ is lifted up and worshiped and glorified in all that you do. And remember this, that there will be a day when there will be no more pain. There will be no more sin, brokenness. There will be no more shame. There will be a day when you see Him face to face. And I pray that that day you will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and be with me." You know, a famous author, writer, C.S. Lewis, he said this about life in Christ. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. Okay, now, he's not just talking about men. This includes you, sisters. God did not become man to turn creatures into... God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. Jesus died to give you and I a new life. And now it's time to live. And so my question for you, my encouragement for you, as you refocus now on the glory of God, the garment that you have, this new life, and how your life can bring glory to God, will you live? Will you live this new life? And may God be glorified in all that you do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You. God, we praise You because You are above all, You are in all, everything was made for You, by You, through You. And God, we thank You for loving us so much that You sent Your Son, God, die on the cross to bring forgiveness of sin. And God, I pray, I thank You for this word from the Apostle Paul, this encouragement to refocus on the reality of this new life. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, You know our shortcomings, You know our weaknesses, You know our sin. And we know full well that we stumble. But God, I thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. I thank You that when we confess our sins, You are faithful to forgive. And not only that, God, I thank You that You give us the strength to live out this new life, to live these characteristics, that these characteristics of Christ are true of us. Because Jesus is changing us from the inside out. Your Holy Spirit is changing us from the inside out. And I pray, God, that we would choose every day to bring You glory. As we remember Your glory, as we remember what You've done for us, and I pray that Northwest Chinese Baptist Church would be a beacon of light that brings transformation to this community, that brings transformation to families, that brings transformation of hearts. God, we ask for Your help and we thank You. Thank You for being so good to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, church. If God is leading you to make some type of decision, maybe He's leading you to trust Him for the very first time as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come and to share that with me so that I can pray with you. Maybe you just want to pray. I invite you to do that as well. But as we sing, as the worship team leads us, please, I encourage you to respond to whatever God has placed on your heart.